That brings us to our final printed agenda item, number 28, license sales updates with Heather. Can we get some good news? We've had kind of two bangers in a row, maybe some good news to end out the agenda.
Mr. Chairman, Tom Kirschman again. I'll do the license sales update. And I don't know, it seems like when I come up, I bring bad news. So we're going to turn this around real quick right now. Is that okay?
Yes, please do.
All right. My good friend and colleague director from the Parks Division there is, he has good news. He has said he's willing to bring forward. But Mr. Chairman and members of the commission, a quick update on license sales for Division of Wildlife and looking at hunting, fishing sales. It should be the last page in your booklet. I believe that was page 73, if I remember correctly. Just going to hit on some highlights here. When we look at the overall standpoint of where we are with license sales right now compared to last year at this time, we are ahead, which is a positive thing. We're ahead from a financial standpoint of about $500,000, and that's collectively over the resident, non-resident license sales. I'm going to point out a couple things in each category. First, under the resident area. Right now, when we look at from a financial standpoint compared to last year, to this year, we're a little bit behind. Probably two main areas impact that potential number. The first one, and probably the most significant, is the annual fishing license sales. When you look at them, they're down approximately 11,000 to 12,000 from last year. Again, we need to put it in somewhat of perspective. When we look at 2020 during the pandemic, when it was a time when people were really looking for that outlet to get in the outdoors and get outside and do stuff, you know, we were just at about 67,000 annual fishing licenses, which were way above the two previous years. So when we look at the numbers right now for 2021, they're basically just a little bit behind of a three-year average. Again, considering, though, we had a phenomenal year last year on those annual fishing licenses. So I would say we're doing well, but certainly behind from last year. And then the other key one is the junior combination license. And the reason that one is down approximately 2,300 is because you all recall the steps you took in streamlining the youth component of our licenses and our approach to youth hunting and fishing in South Dakota. And so that coincides with the elimination of the junior combination license beginning on July 1 of this year. Remember, we took that away because we're considering all youth 17 and under to be youth, and the junior combination license just didn't fit into that overall schematic of that overall approach. And so that is probably the most likely reason why that one is down from last year, about 2,400. Honestly, next year, it won't even be on the list because it won't be available during the current fiscal year. So I think that helps explain a couple of those items, but in large, things look positive from a combination license. Things look good there, and our small game licenses are right there where we were last year. On a non-resident side of things, small game licenses are up significantly from 2020, up just about close to 3,700. Some of that may still fall back to the extension of the pheasant season back in January, but I also think that folks are looking forward to coming to South Dakota. The five-day shooting preserve license numbers are up. And the big one is the annual fishing. We've had a phenomenal year of fishing. We've had a lot of participation from non-resident anglers coming to South Dakota. Fishing has been strong statewide, whether we're talking about the Northeast, the eastern part of the state. Obviously, the Missouri River did fantastic this summer and is still doing very well. We still have anglers coming into the state to participate in walleye bite. That's been fantastic. And angling has been good out here in the western part of the state. So the non-resident annual fishing license have been very strong just from the standpoint our resources are speaking for themselves and the opportunity to still get out there. So again, in the grand scheme of things, we're ahead compared to where we were last year by a little over 9%, which is positive. Our big thing right now is the pheasant season coming up here in a couple of weeks. And like in years past, what we will do is we will monitor that close because it's always a great indicator from a non-resident license sales standpoint in particular what the season may or may not look like. Over time, when we would compare license sales of that Friday, Saturday, Sunday of opening weekend to the previous years, If that thing is showing a, you know, a percent increase, typically that's what we see and holds true for the remainder of the season. It's just a very good indicator over that opening weekend. So as we get to that opening weekend and we have more details and specifics on that, we'll be sure to get that out to you and share that with you to give you an idea of how that opening weekend goes and where we stand on that. So, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, that's a quick update on license sales. I would offer to you things are looking good. We're excited about the pheasant season beginning here real shortly. We've have a lot of folks out there antelope hunting, deer hunting right now. Things are going well. Obviously, elk hunting's been going very well. We're seeing and hearing a lot of great stories there, and we look forward to the continued great fall. As Andrew mentioned a few moments ago, we're all praying for our first frost to stop the EHD thing in respect to big game, but we will get through that, and we'll just continually work as a team here and figure out what management steps we need to take as we continue to move forward. So, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, I'll leave it with that and try to answer any questions you may have.
Sure. Does anybody have any questions for Tom on the license sales or any of the other information he covered here? If not, I kind of teased this yesterday that we might have a couple of non-printed informational items that you guys were going to review before we close shop for the day. Why don't you go ahead with that, Tom, if you're going to
carry that. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So two other items we want to bring to your attention and just visit briefly about. The first one, deer draw structure analysis and where we move forward with that. We have been getting questions, you have been getting questions, comments, suggestions, recommendations, good, bad, and different from sportsmen over the last 3 years as we implemented the new deer drawing structure. Those of you that were on the commission at that time know it was a very heated discussion at moments, a very emotional discussion at moments, certainly a lot of input, different ideas, and I think it's safe to say if there was the perfect system, it would be in place and we would be utilizing it as we speak. But I don't know what that perfect system is that fits everybody's desires and needs. More importantly, though, when the new structure went into place, we as a commission and a department made a commitment that after 3 years, we would do an evaluation of the deer drawing structure that was put in place and to see if it was accomplishing its goals. And again, a couple things that I just want to reiterate and share. You know, two of the main objectives when this new system was put into place was, number one, to increase the total number of unique deer hunters on an annual basis, and number two, to increase a deer hunter's chance of drawing at least their one of preferred deer licenses. That was maybe the premise that we heard from a lot of our hunters is, in particular, we have probably half of our deer hunters, they want one license. They have that preferred area, that preferred season that they want to go deer hunting in. And the question was always posed, you know, what can you do to give me a better chance of getting my preferred deer license? And so that was a big impetus behind the deer drawing structure itself. The second part from the standpoint of us collectively as a commission and agency was, how do we get more unique deer hunters out there, give more people the opportunity? And that is challenging because we know we have a lot of deer hunters. They have a preferred place to go because maybe they have property there, maybe they have permission there, maybe that's where they grew up. The reasons can be unlimited, right? But we also have a lot of hunters that's the only place they're wanting or willing to go as well. And then there are other hunters that are more open and willing to try new places, venture out and go to different locations where licenses are available. So we have a mixture of hunters out there in terms of what their preferences are and what their desires are. So those were the two main objectives that were, I would say, instituted with the whole deer drawing structure change 3 years ago. And those are going to be the two main objectives that we want to look at and evaluate through this process. So a couple of things. I know I've shared a few questions with you that we have generated that we're going to look at. Some of the general overall approach is, did we do enough or do we need to do more to try to reach those objectives? What are the changes or restrictions would improve the results of the objective described above? Are there problems understanding the deer drawing system right now? And I think the answer to that is yes. I mean, it is very complex. Again, we talked about complexity earlier. When you think of the deer drawing structure right now, especially when we get into the third and fourth and fifth drawings. You know, there's different nuances in there. If you had a tag for this season, you can't put in for a leftover until we get to this level of the leftover licenses. There's also nuances there with special buck. That's probably the one that we've heard the most about. You know, if I have a deer license already for West River deer season for whatever unit, doesn't matter, then I can't pick up a leftover special buck license. And there's some carryovers of rules and regulations and administrative rule from even before the deer drawing structure was put in place. So there's a lot of those pieces that we need to look at and have some more conversations about as we go through this process. And again, just, are there ways that we can simplify the process? I mean, we talk about rules complexity, we talk about regulations complexity of all things when it comes to hunting and fishing. We've done a lot of rules reductions over the last 7-8 years, and is this one of those places that we need to look very hard at again to try to make it less complex for our hunters and users to understand? And for many hunters, it's not a big deal. They're putting in for that first draw, and if they draw, they're happy, and if they don't, they're done. But then there's a lot of other hunters that are going into the second, third, fourth, fifth drawings, and that's where it gets very complex and complicated, and we want to continue to look at that. So what we're doing right now is we're going back into the system and we're pulling out data and statistics. We ran reports and shared information with the commission back in 2019 when the new drawing structure was put in place. We're going to run those same type of reports. We're going to obtain new information within our system right now, what we've learned over the last 3 years. Andrew Norton, who just gave you the update on EHD, is going to be our lead person in doing a lot of those analysis of all the data over the last 3 years in comparison to the years before the new drawing structure went into place, as well as each year of the last 3 years. So he's going to have a lot of work ahead of him in dissecting all the numbers and data. Our intent is to bring at least some preliminary numbers or information to you at the November meeting and, you know, at least start that conversation and discussion. We don't anticipate that this is going to be a quick one meeting discussion and it's over, right? If history tells us anything, we know we're going to have a lot of interest in this and we've got a lot of questions to answer and I think some things that we want to all evaluate and assess. So, Mr. Chairman and members of the Commission, that's a quick update on the deer drawing evaluation. We'll bring some more detailed information, some more timelines, maybe some more detailed on some questions. I would offer to you that we'll likely be reaching out to you to have some more conversations, maybe even one-on-one of some thoughts or perspectives on some things you would like to see also in this analysis and evaluation as we move forward. And obviously, we're going to get some input from the public as well. So, Mr. Chairman, I'll turn it back over to you.
Sure. Thanks, Tom, for the good information. You know, and maybe I'm putting too much faith in our new licensing system before it even has a chance to launch, but will some of these problems with the complexity and the confusion of what you're eligible to put in for be handled through that, an easier system to understand while you're sitting down and you're applying, where it shows you, you know, in my vision I see it where it would show me my preferences that are available, what licenses I can and can't, my draw stats are all at a dashboard where it's easier for me as the user to understand that rather than have to go, well, geez, I got 7 years preference here and I got four here, but my percentage is higher even on the 4 years than the seven. And I really am hoping and crossing my fingers that our new system that we've made a substantial investment in helps to alleviate some of those user concerns.
Mr. Chairman, I would say the answer would be yes and no. And why I say that is yes, I think the new system we believe is going to be a more user-friendly system. It will have the ability to show more information and more easily accessible to you as a user, as a hunter, as an applicant. But from a complexity of when you're eligible in this draw versus that draw to if you have this license versus that license, the system's just going to show and articulate what our rules and regulations are. That's going to be incumbent upon us, you, the commission, looking at the structure and going, if that's that complex, then we need to streamline it and make it simpler and input that into the system. But I'm also very excited and confident about our new system and what that's going to mean for our hunters and our applicants. And it will be an easier process, a better process, but some of it's going to be in the structure of the drawings itself, and that's the part that we'll have to work on.
Okay, anybody else have any questions for Tom on this?
It'll be a fun conversation, and it'll be a lot of input from the public. We look forward to that.
You have an odd definition of fun.
Trust me, it'll be fun.
All right. Do you have any other bonus items for us?
Yes, sir. One more. We just want to touch base again a little bit in respect to deer hunting licenses. And Andrew alluded to it just a moment ago in the EHD update of return licenses. And I believe Keith Fisk, our license coordinator, is on the phone here as well, and I might have him chime in just a little bit as well. But I know Keith mentioned it to you last month about our return license system and the fact that people have the opportunity, whether circumstances changed at their home front, they have to leave when the hunting season is for business, work, things happen, things change. What we did is we put in place where individuals had the opportunity to return their license, in particular focusing on deer hunting seasons right now. By the end of September, those licenses would go into a quote-unquote return pool, which we would then make available for people to submit an application and draw licenses for those various units. Please understand those returned licenses could be, for example, the East River deer season, West River deer season, Black Hills deer season, could be a muzzleloader license, whatever it might be. So there could be return licenses from the various seasons themselves. One of the key points that we've had at least a handful of conversations with some individuals interested in picking up these licenses. One of the things that we did implement with it is if you already have a buck license in your possession, in your hand, so for example, you have successfully drawn a West River deer tag and includes a buck tag in there, we do have some return licenses that have a buck tag included, whether it's a single tag or a double tag, any deer plus an antlerless tag. If you have a buck tag in your possession already, you are not eligible to pick up a buck tag that's in the return licenses. The reason that we implemented that was, again, going back to what I just described as one of those objectives in the deer drawing structure, is to get as many people out there in the field as we can, and it might be an opportunity for somebody to draw one of those return licenses that might actually be a preferred license to somebody who was unsuccessful. So that is one conversation piece that I want to make you aware of that we have implemented. We've had, again, a handful of folks that have called in and asked about that because they're looking for another opportunity to grab a buck tag. And we certainly understand that, but we took that approach to give as many people the opportunity to get a buck tag and go out deer hunting this fall. The other piece that was mentioned by Andrew with EHD, we have return licenses that do fall within those hunting units that he showed there in red, that we've pulled licenses or we have concerns about what EHD is. Those return licenses will not go out that were returned in those particular hunting units, just from a management perspective of what we're seeing and trying to address as it relates to EHD. So those are two key points that I want you to be aware of on return licenses. Again, this is an opportunity for people to turn in a license because of circumstances that may not have been able to be detected. We give them a refund, reinstate preference points, and where we can and if we can, we want to put those licenses back out to give others an opportunity to do not have a tag. Keith, if you're on the phone, is there any other key component to the return license that I missed that would be very helpful? Or if you could you quick give a estimated number of return licenses that we've received that will likely be available for hunters to try to apply for?
Hello, Tom, can you hear me?
Yes, Keith, go ahead.
Hey, Keith Fisk, I'm the program administrator here with Game Fish and Parks. So Tom, the response to your question there would be, right now during the return license drawing, we're going to have, there's 269 resident licenses available and 58 non-resident licenses available. So right at a little over, my math's pretty bad today already, but over 300 licenses that'll be available to be able to be reissued and have people be able to hit the fields and get out there that otherwise wouldn't. So we're excited about that. Again, like I spoke to the commission about last meeting, those license types are gonna be respective to the residency. So people that are residents, of course, they're only eligible for resident licenses and vice versa with non-resident licenses. So over 300 licenses, that application period opened this Wednesday, October 6th, and it closes at 8 a.m. Central Time on October 13th. And then we'll be running that rather large draw either the 13th or the 14th. About 2 hours after opening that application system, there are already over 400 applicants, and this is a draw. It's not a first come, first serve, so people were on their computer waiting to apply for this unique opportunity. So that's what we have here coming up the next week ahead of us. But would be happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Anybody have any questions?
I do. Commissioner Bees, on these units that we have this EHD problem going on, and people are turning tags back, are those tags going back to be reissued?
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
Yeah, Commissioner Bees, I think Tom had spoke to that earlier. So in those units that we removed the leftover licenses, so that's Harding, Perkins, Mead, return licenses, there were 73 of them. Those will not be going back into the return license drawing.
But there can be, like in the other units, now that we got EHD popping in other units, like Pennington, Custer, Mead, those tags are turned back in those units. Now we have EHD popping up. They're getting reissued?
Commissioner Bees, and maybe Tom can help me out here, but we did have a meeting here earlier this week with our regional staff that are obviously have their pulse on the disease and the numbers and the reports and some of those things. And at the time, folks did not believe that there was enough reports to not reissue the licenses outside of those four counties where we pulled the licenses back. Again, I hope people remember too the number of licenses in a unit. It's a pretty small number of licenses overall. You know, it might be three any deer licenses in this unit or four whitetail only licenses in this unit. So the overall impact at a unit level is pretty minimal.
Commissioner Bees, to add to that again, so we had the units where we pulled the leftover licenses, and then they also identified a few other units also where we would not reissue licenses that were returned because of EHD, correct? And we'll continue to monitor that as well, because we may have some other units that even more reports, more confirmations come up, and if we have to address some additional units, we will certainly do that. So, Mr. Chairman, that's our report on the return licenses, and any other questions on that, we'd be more than happy to answer them. That would be our last item for your agenda.
Great. Before we have the Secretary give his closing comments, I just wanted to, I know that we have Commissioners Ristler and Sharp and Spring are out on a little under the weather and recovering from some surgeries and whatnot, but I wanted to wish them a speedy recovery. We look forward to seeing their faces in person at our next meeting. And another thing, yesterday due to some connectivity issues, and potentially with the time change in our open forum, we had one person that was unable to connect with us, Julie Anderson. She had asked if she could come back in later yesterday and was still having some connectivity issues, and she's contacted the staff. And so in an effort to allow her 3 minutes for the public comment, I'm going to break stride here. And if Julie is online and with us, we'd grant her that time. And if not, we'd certainly welcome her to make comments at the next meeting at 2 o'clock for the public comments portion or the forum. So, Julie, are you with us? Okay, I don't see you in my deal. I had one phone number I didn't recognize, but we'll touch base with you next month, Julie. With that, I think that I'm done. If there's any commissioner comments or if you have things you want the staff to look forward to for the next meeting, gather some information or data points for you, now would be the time to let us know if you have any of those. Obviously, you can contact Kevin or Rachel throughout the month if something comes up in the interim. And with that, before we adjourn, Secretary Roebling, I'll give you the final word.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Commissioners, for a great meeting. Just want to thank the staff for great presentations. They're always very fantastic, full of detail, full of a lot of great things we do each and every day to provide, serve, and connect families to the outdoors. And we're very proud of that, and yes, we're very proud to be part of this team. I also want to just recognize some behind-the-scenes folks that a lot of times keep these microphones working, keep the live stream moving. Rachel, thank you for everything you do over there. You excellent job with this meeting. I know we had some logistical challenges early on with connectivity, so it went off without a hitch. So thank you, Rachel. Nick, very, very nice job, sir. We got everything working very well, and Chris Hall had a take off this morning, but I want to thank him as well for the logistics of this great meeting. So with that, Mr. Chairman, that's all I have.
Okay, if there's no further comments, we are adjourned.